BI or Die, der Podcast von Reporting Impulse rund um die Themen Analytics, Dashboards und Business Intelligence.
Yeah, hello and welcome to the Power BI or Die podcast. Today, an international episode again, full in English and with one of the, I would think, one of the world's leading experts and influencers in terms of Power BI. So
that's a bold statement. But thank you, but that's a bold statement.
Yeah, but you're quite a brand, and you call yourself Data Mozart. But yeah, Nikola Ilić, just for the reason, if anyone does not know you, because we're quite a different bubble with the Power BI and I podcast, just introduce you a little bit.
Sure. Thanks. And first of all, apologies that we are doing this in English and not in German, because I live in Austria. I should speak German. I speak a little bit, but I still don't feel comfortable because, yeah, since I moved here, I've been using only English for my day-to-day work. So I picked up everyday colloquial German, but it's still not on the required level for a proper communication. Yeah, so if I need to order something in restaurant or in cafe, then it's good. But
it's even hard for Matthias Tierbach, who was actually born and raised in Germany. But even for him, it was like, okay, he does not know really the professional language of data and stuff in German. So, but yeah, also quite a challenge. And I understand. Yeah. So now we spread the word, and you can reach so much more people in English. So all your content is in English, even if you're located in Austria. And
that's, of course, true.
Your kids, I think, are quite good in German.
Yes, they are making jokes with me in German. So yeah, and I can't get it. So they are much better than me, of course. Especially my daughter, she's almost done with her primary school. So she speaks like she was born here. And my son also speaks very well. My wife is also better than me now. So, I'm the black sheep in the family when it comes to German.
Yeah, okay. And besides that, and besides your Data Mozart blog, we'll definitely link in the show notes, you're a free consultant, like freelance consultant for Power BI, and also mentor, speaker, and teacher. So how do you manage to do so much stuff, and what would you say is your main proficiency and main passion?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I started blogging 4.5 years ago. I was long thinking about, should I do that or not? And then, my wife encouraged me to start. Just do it. And then, I started at the very beginning with the main idea and main motivation was because I was facing similar problems and challenges in my work. And I was always Googling back, to find the results. And then I was like, okay, maybe I can write about this. And then instead of going Googling, searching for something, I can go to my blog and find the solution easier and quicker. And that's how I started. So back then, I just started working with Power BI, or maybe I was working maybe for a year or so. So my background is from relational databases. So I started working with SQL Server a long time ago, and then slowly moved to this BI, traditional BI stack, like SQL Server Analysis Service, Integration Services, Reporting Services. And Power BI was just, like a new kid on the block. And my company, where I used to work in that period, we had everything on-prem. So we got, as part of our SQL Server Enterprise edition license, we got Power BI Report Server. And then Power BI was just there. No one touched it for like a few months. No one from our team. We were doing everything in SQL Server Reporting Services. And then I started work with Power BI, and then new things coming. Okay, let's write about this, let's write about that. That's how I basically started blogging. And then you realize that a lot of people face similar things, similar problems, similar challenges. And I write something that I think no one else maybe could benefit from it. Like everyone knows that, but that's a wrong assumption. So there is always someone who can benefit from what you write. And then it was motivation to continue, of course. And I would say also from my personal perspective, that helps me to learn things better because, you don't want to write something if you're not 100% sure or you think you're 100% sure. You might be wrong, of course, but that pushes you to deeply try to understand the topic you're covering.
Yeah, of course. When you're writing it for the public, you're forced to have some certain degree of quality.
And yes.
You're never perfect, so at least...
Absolutely, yeah.
When I'm watching my old YouTube videos, I started also like about 4 years ago. That's interesting. And it was also the same time. Yeah, but it's much smaller because I was starting in German and because it was like the same motivation. I had some clients who were asking me about some Power BI features and then I just made the videos and say, okay, here... You can watch the tutorial, and when I look at it now, it's awful. It's even like Calendar Auto is there, and also some.
Yeah, but we need to start from somewhere, right? So we are also doing things at certain point in time that we think are the best.
And it was helpful.
Our knowledge. It was helpful. Yeah. I know your channel is very helpful and popular, especially among German speaking audience. So absolutely.
Even some people, they talk to me years after that and they say, yes, I was watching your update videos. And Ulrich, my colleague, also told me, yes, in his former company, he spread the videos every month, like as an update for the internal Power BI community. And
this was
something great, even if there are like 2 or 3 likes below the first videos. But I think it's important just to keep it, and at least you're doing it for yourself.
Exactly. And if you have like 2 or 3 likes, if you helped 2 or 3 people, that's already better than helping no one. So I would say that's also great.
Yeah, of course. And besides you, you're also like a speaker, well-known speaker at events. So how much events do you have visited in 2024 so far?
So I had to check this. It's been 14 events so far, so until June. Let's say half of those were in person, half of those were online.
Okay.
But yeah, I traveled like all the way from, we met at Munich in February, right?
Yeah.
And also I went to Vegas in March. Then I don't know, I was also in May in Prague. Then now in Croatia and also in Dublin in Ireland. So more or less like and everywhere.
The world capital.
And Lingen, yes, of course. I forgot about Lingen, yeah. Yeah, this metropolis,
The Power BI community is very great. And as a mentor,
amazing.
You also lifted some people up, what's quite amazing because you're also doing some stuff like for a non-profit, like the teaching sessions and coaching.
Yes, so essentially regarding mentorship, so... I need to give you a little more of a background. Mm. So I was also mentored back then when I started my public speaking. In 2020, I started the New Stars of Data, the first edition. And Ben and William. And it was the first edition that they ever did. So I was paired with Wolfgang Strasser. So he was my mentor. The idea of New Stars of Data is that new speakers get mentors to help them in preparing the session and everything that goes with that first public speaking appearance. So I was lucky enough to have Wolfgang as my mentor. He was amazing. And then afterwards, of course, it was completely natural to, to kind of give back what I got from Wolfgang. And then, I was mentoring like for next almost every edition. I had a mentee for New Stars of Data, a lot of them. And I'm super happy to see some of them are really shining nowadays in data community, like Elena or Roman. So they really continue their journey, and I'm super proud of what they managed to accomplish, and I'm sure they will accomplish many more great things. So that's the story about mentoring, but also what we are doing. And then I say, it started like my personal idea, and then I included a lot of people from our community. It's Power BI Bootcamp. We just finished second edition. So first edition was 2 years ago. And then this spring, I again opened like call for applicants. So it's the idea is that we support people who can't pay for the training and women, because we need more women in technology. That's my opinion. And so women and people who cannot afford paid trainings. And this year we had like 300 and something applications.
Wow.
In the end, 256 people confirmed their participation. So it was impossible, because the idea is that over the course of 10, 11 weeks, we spend time with those people, really helping them to learn Power BI and to build something. So it's not just a webinar like, presentation for...
Just watch me for 2 hours and then pay.
And then see you never. this one is like a two-way street. So we communicate, we help them working on project, answering their questions and so on. And this year we had 11 groups of participants, 20 to 25 people in each group. And I need really to mention the help from all of the friends from our community who jumped in to volunteer to lead these groups in their spare time for free, totally free. So yeah, we do this like just for the sake of promoting Power BI and helping other people. Yeah,
great initiative, and we will also link this in the show notes, of course. And
thank you.
Now I'm also interested to help, but we can talk afterwards, in a podcast. And but it's a really cool concept of learning. I think it's a challenge among like going several weeks. And then you have some touch points to talk about problems.
Yes.
People are building some use case. Are they working together? Like a group of 20 is working on the same project?
No. So, okay. So the idea is every week we have like a 1 hour regular session where we introduce a certain topic, like, I don't know, Power Query or data visualization or DAX, stuff like that. And then in the meantime, so they have time to sync this information and then to ask a question. Of course, they can ask questions during the session. That's also allowed. But usually, because most of them are complete beginners, they need some time to absorb this information. And after 2 or 3 days, they come up with questions like, what did you say about calculate? Or, what did you say? How can we format this visual or that visual? Do conditional formatting, whatever. So they have time to absorb the information, to really try to figure out a proper question. And in the end, there is a project. We were using AdventureWorks as a sample database, because everyone can access this data through CSV files. So they don't need to install any SQL servers and so on. So with CSV files, and then we teach them these good principles of designing Power BI reports, data modeling stuff, Power BI reports, and so on. But they work on, each of them work on their own project, but we have a Slack channel where 200 of us communicate all together, so they can ask a question, they can show, I built that, is it good or is it not good? So stuff like that. So we have a central place for communication, but each of them, they are building projects for themselves with a goal so that they can have something if they apply for a Power BI job or data analytics job. They have a project that they can showcase to their potential employer.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. And then to be honest, I think this is like the best way of learning, like to keep it continuous, to have like regular touch points. But of course, even in companies, even with my clients, it's the most persons are, they're not doing it full time. So they need time to keep this information, to try something, and then they, exactly. But they also need exactly. the fixed points to ask it. So we did not sync it before, but it's like it sounds quite the same as I'm also like to doing some educational problems inside of companies, because I still believe it's the way
sure, to go. Sure. Especially for newbies in Power BI. I mean, when you train experienced people, it's different. Then
you need some use case. Then I wouldn't take adventure works. I would take a use case from practice.
Exactly. And then you can expect from those people to follow along for like 4 hours or 8 hours of this training, because they all already know the basics. So you just walk them through this specific use case, as you mentioned. But for new people, it's overwhelming. That's from my experience. If you do like an 8 hour training on Power BI on someone who never saw Power BI, or just maybe open it once or twice, it's overwhelming. So they get lost, they get discouraged. And that's why I thought it maybe makes more sense for me. For us, it's harder to keep it like 2 months of continuous work.
You have to plan better. Yeah, of course you have time for social media and for blogging, but you also need to pay the bills, and then it's like
sure. But from perspective of our time as someone who leads the group in for this Power BI bootcamp, it's easier to I will do this one day from 9 to 5 and I'm done. But from perspective of people who are participating, I can bet it's way more useful in this way when they have time to to sync all this information.
Yeah. Also, there's also value in this whole day stuff, like a pre-con or your trainings you gave in the US. But I think it should be more like an event.
And yes.
Ingest some special knowledge, but it shouldn't be like the only training. So support is crucial and continuous work is crucial for Power BI.
That's true. Absolutely true. Yeah.
And at this point, when I talk about continuous, so the updates for the last month is just overwhelming, I think. So since Fabric is out, and even before a few months, it's like crazy. So many updates. Yes. How do you prioritize this, and how do you keep in touch with all this stuff? So because even for you, there's, I think, lots of new stuff, and you're coming from SQL background. You're not so familiar with Lakehouse, maybe, I think.
Yeah. So many things. So I'll give you a good example. Last week I was presenting at Dublin, at Data Kale in Dublin, and my session was on Fabric Warehouse, the one I did also in Lingen at Grillen. So in the meantime, I had to refresh. It was less than a month. I had to refresh the session because things were changed. Things changed within this 1 month. In between, things changed a lot. Some limitations are not limitations anymore. Then I also figured out some new limitations that I didn't know about. But the best thing is I'm using one of the first slides to introduce the Fabric as a platform. And then I used a slide which was there since Fabric was introduced. And real-time analytics was under Synapse experience, Synapse umbrella. And after my session, Susan Bass, she approached me and she told me, you know that real-time analytics is not Synapse anymore. I was like, no, I don't know. And then I checked. So real-time analytics is now real-time intelligence. And it's a separate workload completely. So it's not under Synapse. And Data Activator will belong to real-time intelligence very soon. Whereas Data Activator, if you take a look like 3 weeks ago, it was a separate workload, separate experience. So things are really changing so fast. So, to answer your question, I think it's impossible to stay up to date with everything in such a broad world like Fabric is. So it's impossible. It's impossible. I would like to meet a person who can like follow on all the aspects of the platform. I think this person doesn't exist. I would like to meet this if there is anyone else.
No, not even Chris Webb or like Microsoft employees.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. It's hard. I mean, you focus on certain topic or set of topics, but you can't really follow up with everything. So, for example, real-time analytics was not my focus area, so I completely overlooked that part, that change, for example. So I'm following mostly, of course, Power BI, but also I'm trying to follow as much as possible everything related to lakehouses and warehouses. So that's my primary area of interest. Yeah,
yeah, of course. And for me, the same. So I think it's also like I'm quite prioritized by the projects, of course. When clients need something, I try to keep up with this. And so far, real-time was not like a main focus, but monitoring was kind of a big focus of my clients. So, and this is also intersects with real-time area because of all the logs, and you can stream the logs better.
To be honest, sorry for interrupting you. To be honest, it's hard to stay up to date just in Power BI with all the changes, let alone Fabric. So just in Power BI, it's hard to stay up to date with all the changes that we got in last few months. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think the people will be more specialized in the future, or will there be more Copilot and everything is done by Copilot and just like steering?
I don't know. For me, it's hard to give any opinion about Copilots because I still think there is a way to go for Copilots to replace a true data professional. We are talking about people who know things and who can check the outcome or results that Copilot brought to you. So you can say, okay, this is rubbish or this is very good. Thank you, Copilot. So, but if you take a look like 1 year back and where are we now with Copilots and all these chat GPTs, I'm afraid to tell anything because if someone watches this podcast in 6 months or 1 year, they'll be like, what are these guys saying? So it's really hard to predict where it goes and how fast it goes. That's, I think, the biggest challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, the same, because I noticed like a week ago that I was like participating in some data analytics escape room where you have to solve some puzzles with SQL and Python. And I really noticed that I wasn't accepting it anymore to Google for Python functions and was expecting to solve this with ChatGPT. It's okay.
Now
I'm one of them too. That was kind of crazy moment.
Yeah. I think ChatGPT will definitely replace, it's already replaced a lot of use cases of those regular browser, search engines. And I think this is the area where ChatGPT will completely replace like Google, Bing, I don't know, whatever search engine you are using. That's the area, but for others, I think it's still some way to go,
Yeah, and it's also like the professionals also develop. So when you think 20 years ago, people were paid to install the SQL Server and to maintain some admin stuff. And now lots of this stuff is in the cloud. It's you can create a database with just no code, droppy clicky stuff. And
in Fabric, you can do everything from user interface with clicking. You don't need to write a single line of code. Starting from data ingestion, if you use Dataflow's Gen 2, and all the way to creating a Power BI report in web UI, so you don't need a line of code in any programming language. Of course, you should do that, and you need to do that to accomplish certain things. But generally speaking, you can do everything without knowing any programming language, just from user interface.
Yeah, and I'm still doing it a lot because some clients just say, okay, I know notebooks are more efficient, but I could not maintain it by myself. Just let us use the Dataflow Gen 2 because we know it from Power Query. And even if it's not the most efficient way, we both know. But it's still maintainable. So I think the magic of Fabric is to merge all this professional and more end-user-oriented stuff in one platform, and it still works, you know?
Yeah.
As a professional, I can watch what the self-service users are doing, and then I can help, and it's also a great communication platform.
Yes, yes, I agree, I agree. That's a very good blend of different sub-platforms, sub-services, where everyone can find its own comfortable place to thrive, I would say, yeah. So if you don't know how to code, you can do everything from user interface. If you are code first person, you are still covered. You still have like services that can support you on that journey, yeah.
So what's your favorite tech stack actually in Fabric? So mine is more like indeed data flows and Lakehouse and pipeline for orchestration.
Yes.
So you're coming from SQL, so maybe your stack is a little bit different, but I don't know.
It is, but in reality, so far I worked mostly with Lakehouses in Fabric.
Okay.
So, but still, I'm leveraging my SQL knowledge through Spark SQL in notebooks. So I don't know Python. I can understand when someone else writes something in a notebook in PySpark. I can understand, or at least assume what this code is doing, or is supposed to do. But I'm not writing Python myself. But I can write Spark SQL, and I have to admit that so far, I like Lakehouses the most in the entire. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me about the feature itself, that's shortcuts.
Okay, yeah, it's awesome. I think that there's so much potential, but the companies are just starting to use Fabric like on a broad scale, because so far,
yes.
I don't know what's your experience, but for me, I have clients, they're using it productive, but only in certain areas. So it's not mesh that embraces the whole organization. But when they will start, it will be, I think this is the biggest leverage you can have to link all these elements together and just create a data set by shortcutting.
Awesome. Yes, yeah. Essentially, you don't need to physically have data in Fabric, and you can still build like a direct lake report on top of your data. So that's amazing, if you ask me. That's why I love shortcuts, yeah.
Yeah, and when anyone needs to know how to migrate to Direct Lake, you have a great blog about it.
This blog is a consequence. So thanks to Michael Kowalski from Microsoft.
Yeah.
I mean, he did all the job. But I have to like share a little bit also of a background of that story. I'm working for a client who is migrating currently everything to Fabric. And they have a lot of complex models, semantic models in Power BI, like 200 gigabytes or bigger, and tables with 9-10 billion rows. And they're moving everything to Fabric. And one of the requirements is that all these data sets must be available in Direct Lake mode. So I was migrating existing models to Direct Lake, and I started using those notebooks developed by Michael back then. It was a version like 0.4.1. Now it's, it was 0.0.4. Now it's 0.4.1. So in the meantime, there were many iterations. I was providing feedback. So whenever I was missing a feature, I was writing to Michael like, hey, Michael, I can't create a semantic model in a different workspace than Lakehouses. And then he changed something in his script. Like, he was really super responsive. I couldn't believe, like, I write him at 6 p.m. and he fixes it until that evening. So 8 p.m. it's working. And so whenever I had some blocker, some problem, I was writing to him like, I can't do that, this, I can't do that. Or maybe if this is possible, in the end, it was about field parameters. So field parameters, as you know, are kind of calculated table, DAX calculated tables, which are not supported or which were not supported in Direct Lake. So we figured it out that there are certain properties on a table that can make a regular table behave like field parameter table. So there are properties, you can see them in Tabular Editor. And then Michael also incorporated that in his script. So that's a very interesting story for us data nerds. Like,
it's awesome. CAT tools are really great, and
yeah,
very easy to use. Even so,
yes, Yes. Even
from sometimes I lack some transparency, of course, because it's just ready to use functions. And when you copy all this stuff, I think when
in
you
the
need
beginning,
to copy
it
measures,
was not a package. It was like a bunch of separate individual functions. So you could literally go and see the function definition and everything else. And then Michael decided, because probably there were too many functions, he decided to package it. It's much easier and more convenient to use it in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, some great development around Power BI and Fabric. And to wrap it up, what do you think are the most hottest features in Power BI and Fabric with the biggest impact that you need to keep in touch?
Right now, or something that?
Yeah, I think right now, or some you already can see on the horizon and still can talk about it, of course.
Yeah, that's there are some cool things coming, but I'm not sure if they are under NDA, so I'll play safe and try to not to talk about that, because I don't know which of those are in private preview or public preview or NDA or not, but from last few months in Power BI, I really salute the work that Miguel Myers did with his team. Even though if I'm not in data visualization almost at all, but I really appreciate the work they did to really increase the level of quality for built-in visuals in Power BI. That's something that's really admirable. Other than that, honestly, I'm not using web UI to do anything in Power BI, basically. So all these enhancements are nice, but I'm not using them. I would say DAX view is also very, very cool thing, DAX view. I'm trying to remember if I missed something or not. Can you remind me, or do you have something?
So, for example, mirroring, I think, for you as a database
mirroring,
guy,
yes, that's true. I forgot that. Yes,
use it productive yet. So,
no, me neither. Me neither. It's still in preview, a lot of glitches. But as a concept, mirroring is great. As a concept, mirroring is great. And once it supports those data sources that are commonly used across many companies, like SQL Server, for example, or Oracle, then I think it will have even bigger impact than it has now. But as a concept, it's great.
Yeah, and even for now, I think like something like Snowflake mirroring. So Snowflake is quite widely used, so at least from my perspective.
Yes.
And it's,
but still, we have here in Germany, in Austria, we still have a lot of companies which are on-prem, to be honest. Yeah, so
Oracle and all this stuff, of course.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions, for like when SQL Server will be supported for mirroring.
And do you have some wish for a function that you need? Because sometimes when we are in the podcast, the wish was fulfilled afterwards.
Oh, okay. You should have told me that, so I think about what I need most. No, joke aside. If we talk about, let's talk about warehouse first. So there, I would like to have a lot of things that are missing from traditional SQL. I would like to have constraints that are enforced. So primary keys, foreign keys, unique keys that are enforced, so that you don't get data integrity rules violated and data problems with that on a database level. That's what I would like to see in a warehouse. In a lakehouse, I think it's there. Some security features are coming, which are still not there, and I hope that this one, the concept of one security that they introduced when Fabric was publicly announced, I think I would like that this concept comes really to be applicable as soon as possible. I think those features are still missing in Fabric world. From others, like from Power BI, I don't know. what is missing? Yeah. Can't think of any specific feature that should be nice to have. I always like when other people post some ideas, mm-hmm. and then I was like, yes, that's a great idea. Let's go vote. Yeah. But from my perspective, yeah, I don't see anything specific that is missing. Do you have anything on your mind?
Yes, I have some visions that are more abstract. So I would like to have this merging and unmerging of Power BI files to make it more comfortable and without the use of external tools, because some clients of me cannot use them. It mm-hmm. would be very useful, like, to make some performance checks to merge one report, the data set and the reports in one file, and then to unmerge them again. I know it can be made with code and all this stuff, but it would be
much
easier, even in some secure environments where I cannot use Power BI tools from Matthias or something.
Yes.
This would be great. And also I think it would be a quick win to have some watcher, like some event or trigger in the lake house when the file is changed, to start a notebook to update the delta table. And to, of course, you can code it and you can monitor it through a Spark job. But this would be like when you have some mapping data, or to be honest, it's always like teams that are using Excel to input some stuff, and just to have some.
It's always watching. Excel, yeah.
to have some watching trigger in the lake house. Okay, this file has changed. Now I need to read it and to start. Okay, for Excel data flow and for CSV a notebook, to create a delta table and then to refresh some model. It's quite common. It sounds clumsy and strange, but lots of people are still using these files, and it would be like a big shift to get rid of SharePoint constructs and to get rid of some on-prem folders monsters.
Yeah, that sounds interesting, mm-hmm.
Okay, but maybe they will fulfill. Gabi is watching us, so
okay,
best regards, and then thanks for having you here.
Greetings to Gabi.
And see you again at the next event. So
yes, looking forward to it. Thanks for having me. It was great to talk to you. Yeah,
Nicola, cheers and see you.
Cheers, see you, Arthur.
Das war BI or Die, der Podcast von Reporting Impulse. Danke, dass ihr auch diesmal wieder mit dabei wart.
Wenn es euch gefallen hat, dann hinterlasst uns doch eine gute Bewertung.
Und abonniert den Podcast, um keine weitere Folge zu verpassen. Bis zum nächsten Mal.